Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about, 67, 68 degrees outside. It's sunny, so definitely a nice, nice weather day. Also had a great weekend of watching sports and ready to talk about it all with you on today's show. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E-T-R-I-C-E at hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Mo Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. Also, you can listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. We have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk a lot of NBA. We're going to talk about all the events that took place in All-Star Weekend. Also, we'll talk about the actual game itself. We'll also talk about the biggest surprises so far in the NBA season, the biggest disappointments so far, biggest disappointing teams, I should say, so far in the NBA. We'll also look ahead to some second-half storylines to follow heading into the playoffs. Also, we'll talk some college basketball as well. Before we talk NBA, we can talk some NFL. There's some breaking news. Julius Thomas, a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also, he was also a former Denver Bronco. He has been traded to the Miami Dolphins for a draft pick. So that's a nice little trade there for the Miami Dolphins. They definitely need some offensive help. He'll definitely, if he can stay healthy, he'll make the team better. He's a really good tight end. He does a great job pass-catching tight end, making big plays over the middle. So he'll definitely help out the Miami Dolphins offense. So that's a nice trade for them. After stay healthy. He's been dealing with some injuries the last couple of years in Jacksonville, especially last year. So if he can stay healthy, if he can stay on the field, I think Julius Thomas is definitely a guy who can help the Miami Dolphins offense, to say the least. So we can talk about that. Also, we can talk about All-Star Weekend that took place this weekend in the NBA. Eric Gordon, he wins a three-point shooting contest. I really thought Klay Thompson was going to dominate the three-point shooting contest. He didn't even get out of the first round. He struggled, so that was really shocking to me. But Aaron Gordon, he really knocked down some threes, and he wins the three-point shooting contest. Like I said, I was a little disappointed that Steph Curry wasn't in it, but congratulations to Eric Gordon for winning it. Also, the dunk contest, to me, it was just okay. It wasn't great. It was okay. I thought Derrick Jones, he had some nice dunks. I told you to watch out for that young man. He had some ups, and he showed them. He had some nice dunks. That one in between his legs, that was really nice. But Glenn Robinson III, and I feel old because I watched Glenn Robinson, his dad, play at Purdue. I watched Duke beat Purdue back in 95, that Grant Hill senior season. They beat Purdue in the Elite Eight. Anyway, Glenn Robinson, he wins the dunk contest. The last dunk was just off the chain. That one, he reverse dunks over three people, including Paul George, the mascot for the Pacers, I believe. I don't remember who the mascot was. But anyway, and also a Pacer cheerleader. That was a nice dunk. That was nice. So again, a lot of people say, well, the dunk contest was bad. I wouldn't say it was bad, but it was just okay. It was average. It was so-so. Like I said, there was some nice dunks. There were some nice presentations, but it wasn't great, to say the least. Aaron Gordon, he struggled. You could tell he was still dealing with that injury. He had suffered an injury towards the before the All-Star game, so you definitely could tell that he was struggling with that injury, so that definitely hurt him. But still, the dunk contest was okay. All in all, it was pretty good. As for the All-Star game itself, the West wins 192-182. Let's see, Anthony Davis, he wins the MVP, scoring 52 points. Russell Westbrook had 41. Kevin Durant had a triple-double, 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. The only reason to watch this game, really, unless you're just a big fan of teams scoring at will, if you like that kind of basketball, to me, I want to see a little more defense being played. But if you like that non-competitive basketball, the only reason to see was the drama between Durant and Westbrook. And Durant had an alley-oop to Westbrook, and he dunks it in, and they point at each other. And then I love the reaction from the bench, throwing water around, jumping up with their fist up and down, like it was a big party. So that was a good moment. Maybe Westbrook and Durant's relationship's getting a little better. It's still not what it used to be, obviously. Maybe it'll never be like that again, but it's good they can be at least, good terms, at least, decent terms, at least, what I'm saying. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. But the game itself, again, like I said, I didn't really enjoy it. Neither team brought any effort defensively at all, not even in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I've been practicing that all weekend. Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, he had 30 points and 6 rebounds. Kyrie Irving had 22 points and 14 assists. LeBron James added 23, but I'm not shocked at all that the West won. But again, definitely did not enjoy that game at all, outside of the Durant to Westbrook dunk. That was about it. That's all I enjoyed. We can talk about the All-Star Weekend or anything else in the world of sports. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. After the game, we had a big trade that took place in the NBA. DeMarcus Cousins, he's headed to the New Orleans Pelicans for Tariq Evans, Buddy Hield, and also Langston Galloway. Also, the Kings get a first-round pick, which is a top-three pick, so that's really nice. And also a second-round pick. And the Pelicans also get back Amir Caspi. So, to me, looking at the Kings, they're looking down the road. They're looking at the future. This didn't work out with DeMarcus Cousins, so they wanted to get as much as they could. Tariq Evans is a nice player when he's healthy, and also I think Buddy Hield is going to be a really good player potentially for Sacramento. And then the draft picks, especially that first round top three, this draft is going to be loaded. So they're going to get a nice player with that number three, with the top three protected pick. They're going to get a nice player in this draft. So for the future, I think it's a decent move for the Kings. We'll see who they pick at, who's going to be that top three pick that they get. But looking for the future, obviously, for the Kings, this is an okay trade. Decent for them. I would give them, I've had to give them a grade, I would give them a C-. But for the Pelicans, obviously it's an A. You pair DeMarcus Cousins with Anthony Davis, that is a big-time front court. And also, they're interchangeable, too. You could play Davis or Cousins at the four. Either one can play the five. Both can hit the mid-range J. DeMarcus Cousins can hit three. So I like that. From the Pelicans' perspective, they should make the playoffs. They should get that eighth spot in the West, only 2.5 games back of the Denver Nuggets. We'll see if Denver makes a move, but as of right now, the Pelicans should be able to catch them. Now, the Pelicans, they don't have much talent on the roster outside of Jrue Holiday. Obviously, he's a big-time player. I think Terrence Jones is a nice player for the Pelicans, but they don't have much talent. But that's a team that could potentially give Golden State a little bit of headaches in the first round. They can beat them up a little bit on the inside with Cousins and Davis. I guess JaVale McGee would have to play a lot in that series. JaVale McGee and also, what was that other big man for? His name is invading me right now, the big man for the Warriors that's injured right now. But anyway, that'll be interesting. So we'll see how they defend, how you can defend those two bigs on the inside. But they could be, if they can add something around them, you can watch out for the Pelicans. Obviously, if DeMarcus Cousins signs a long-term extension, that's going to be key. Will he do that? Will he sign with New Orleans? That'll be very, very interesting this offseason. But for right now, that is a nice move for the Pelicans if they want to ensure that Zaza Pachulia. So can Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee handle the interior? And I guess Draymond Green would have to defend one of those players as well. So that'll be an interesting first-round series if it happens. But like I said, the Pelicans have put themselves in a position to make the playoffs this year. And if they can sign DeMarcus Cousins to a long-term extension, they could be really dangerous down the road. So we'll definitely keep a track of that. Also, let's turn our attention to the biggest surprises so far this NBA season. To me, has to be in the East, the Washington Wizards. They're playing some outstanding. But I thought they had a chance to make the playoffs, but I didn't think they would be. Right now, they were number three in the East. Have a chance to go to number two. I did not think that was possible. They're great backcourt, obviously, with John Wall and Bradley Beal. Otto Porter is playing some great basketball. And Marcin Gortat, he's doing a great job of doing work on the glass, being a double-double guy. So watch out for the Wizards. They're playing some great basketball. I also have to say the Chicago Bulls, they're in playoff position. I know they're not playing great basketball, obviously, but they've been dealing with a lot of dysfunction, and they're still in the playoff hunt. I thought they didn't have enough shooting to make the playoffs, and they still right now are in playoff position. So I think they're definitely a big surprise. Also, there's some big surprises in the West. It has to be the Houston Rockets. I had them eighth. I thought they would make the playoffs, but I definitely did not think they would be third in the West at this time. James Harden's playing some outstanding basketball. He's playing at an MVP-type level. He definitely is somebody. Some people will say he's the leading candidate for the MVP. Right now, my vote would go to Russell Westbrook, but James Harden is playing some outstanding basketball right now. And they surround him with some really good shooters. You talk about Eric Gordon, who won the three-point shooting contest, Ryan Anderson. They can really spread you with that three-point shooting. So it'll be interesting to see if Houston, they've been struggling a little bit as of late. So we'll see if they can pick it up the rest of the season heading into the playoffs. Also, Utah. I thought Utah would make the playoffs, but again, I did not think they would be as high as they are in the West. Gordon Hayward, he's an all-star. He's been playing really well. They had that inside depth with Gobert, and also Derek Favors. So Utah is definitely a team to watch out for. They've been playing some really, really good basketball. Some disappointing teams in the NBA. Number one to me has to be Portland. I had Portland in the top five of the West, and they have an outside chance of getting that eighth spot, but still. I mean, I know they're dealing with some injuries, but that's really disappointing for a team that made the second round of the Western playoffs last season. For them to be struggling as they have, that's really shocking to me. And also Indiana, they've been really, really inconsistent. I had Indiana, I think I had the number three in the East. I had Cleveland, Boston, then Indiana. Wrong. Indiana, right now there would be six in the East, I believe. And they've just been really inconsistent. At times they've been playing some really good basketball, and then they struggle. So you never know what you're going to get from a game-to-game basis with Indiana. Maybe they can pick it up in the second half of the season. Also the New York Knicks, I thought they would be a shoe-in to make the playoffs. Again, they have an outside chance to get in the eighth spot, but disappointment, a lot of drama, just too much drama. It'll be interesting to see if they trade Carmelo Anthony before the trade deadline. I wouldn't think so, but it'll be interesting to see if that happens. So we shall wait and see. And let's talk about the second half storylines that I'm going to be following in the NBA. Number one, can Golden State, can they cruise that number one seed in the West, and can they win 70 games or even more? I would think they're going to win 68 or 69 games, but Golden State is who we thought they were. I didn't think they were going to some people were saying, oh, they're going to win 78, 79 games. That's crazy. It's going to take them a while to bring in Kevin Durant and, you know, define roles for their team, but their defense has been a lot better than what I thought it would be, and also they're doing a great job with their ball movement. I knew their ball movement was going to be really good, but they're averaging 31 assists per game. They could break an NBA record for assists per game. That's really impressive, so I'm going to be following that storyline. Also, number two in the West, the Spurs. can they catch the Golden State Warriors? They're only four games back, so it's not crazy to say, can they catch the Golden State Warriors and become the number one seed in the West? I don't think so, but that's definitely going to be a storyline I'm going to be following. Also, Oklahoma City, can they add some more to their team? Are they going to make a move before the trade deadline? It's going to be very interesting to me. I think Oklahoma City, if they can make a move or two, maybe they can be a dangerous team in the playoffs. They're definitely going to make the playoffs, in my opinion. Unless an injury happens, like Russell Westbrook or someone gets injured, then never mind. But if they can stay healthy, if they can get Cantor back, they will make the playoffs. But as a seventh seed, you have to put more than likely play the San Antonio Spurs, maybe Golden State, but more than likely the San Antonio Spurs. I don't see them beating the San Antonio Spurs, so they're going to have to go out and make a move if they want to make a run in the playoffs. Sam Presti has been known to make some moves, so we shall wait and see. Also in the West, can Houston make a big push this second half of the season? Some people are picking Houston to make it to the Western Conference Finals. I'm not. I'll stick with Golden State and the San Antonio Spurs, but it's going to be interesting to see, can Houston make a big push? I mean, they have a lot of offensive weapons. James Harden's playing some really good basketball. They're not a great defensive team, but they've improved. Can they play really well down the stretch of the regular season, and can they make a move? Can they, right now they're at number three, can they beat one of the top two teams in the West? That'll be in a playoff series. I'm definitely going to be following that storyline. Also, can the Clippers, can they get healthy, and can they push the top teams in the West? A big important key for them, obviously, is Chris Paul's health. Can he get healthy? Can Blake Griffin stay healthy? That's going to be a big storyline I'm going to be following, because the Clippers have all the talent in the world, but can they stay healthy? That's going to be a big key for the L.A. Clippers. In the East, can Cleveland get healthy and can they dominate in the East? Obviously, Kevin Love's out for 6 weeks. J.R. Smith is still out. He's going to be back soon, it looks like. Adding Kyle Korver, if they can get everyone healthy, they're definitely should be the favorites to win the East. And they have a great chance of beating Golden State in the NBA Finals, potentially, but they have to be healthy. Can they get healthy, and can they stay healthy before the playoffs start? I'm going to be following that storyline. And also, who's going to be the second-best team in the East? Some people will say Boston, who's the second-best team right now. That's who I pick, and that's who I'll stick with. But also, Washington's out there. And then Toronto. I know they've been struggling as of late, but they added Serge Ibaka. So I think he's definitely going to help Toronto. So who's going to be the second-best team East? I'm going to be following that. And also, who's going to win the MVP? Is it going to be Westbrook? Is it going to be Harden? Is it going to be Isaiah Thomas? Is it going to be someone else? To me, I would pick Westbrook. He's averaging a triple-double. I know at times he takes bad shots. At times he turns the ball over way too much. But look, he's averaging a triple-double. It hasn't been done since Oscar Robertson in 1960. That is impressive. I mean, look at all the great players that have played between 1960 and now in the NBA, and he's the only player ever this late in the season averaging a triple-double. That is very impressive. 27 triple-doubles at this point of the season? Wow, very impressive. So, to me, he would be my eyes on pick. I know James Harden is having he has the most double-doubles James Harden does. He's having an outstanding season, but in my opinion, right now, if OMC Thunder, if they make the playoffs and Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double, he gets my vote. If I had a vote, I would definitely vote for Russell Westbrook. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some music from Ariana Grande, and when we come back, we're going to talk some college basketball. We'll do all that next on Mo's.
The top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Boy, you made me feel so lucky. Finally, the stars are.
Well, Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, we can talk NBA, we can talk NFL, anything in the world of sports. We can talk college basketball, which we're about to talk about in a minute. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's talk about the weekend that was in college basketball. By the way, I went 3-1 in my college basketball picks. I am 15-3. For the regular season so far, listen to Mo's Sports Talk and you'll learn. I'm just letting you know. Kansas, the one game I was wrong about, Kansas, they came back to beat Baylor. They finished the game on an 8-0 run and win 67-65. I'm just not going to pick against Kansas anymore. They just find ways to win. Frank Mason, he scored 23 points. He had 8 assists. He made all the big plays down the stretch for Kansas. Josh Jackson, he added 16 points, had 4 block shots. Landon Lucas had 8 points and 7 rebounds, including the game-winning free throws as Kansas, they just shut down Baylor. In the last 3 minutes of that game, they shut down the Baylor Bears. Jonathan Motley had 19 points and 9 rebounds. Manu LeConte, he has 16 points, but Baylor really shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. They had 16 turnovers. Also, Kansas, they were 16 of 20 from the free throw line. Baylor only attempted 11 free throws, so Kansas was the more aggressive team. And again, it looks like another Big 12 title for the Kansas Jayhawks. What else is new? That's no shock at all. So a nice win there. Another comeback win for Kansas. I told you Duke would get a win at home over Wake Forest. It was a lot tougher than what I thought it would be. Duke gets past Wake Forest, beating them 99-94. 6 Duke Blue Devils were in double figures. All 5 starters were in double figures. Luke Kennard, he scored 23 points. Jason Tatum had 19 points and 7 rebounds. They shot 59% from the field. They hit 13 threes, only 7 turnovers. So very efficient offense for Duke. But the defense definitely was an issue. John Collins for Wake Forest had 31 points and 15 rebounds. Wake Forest shot 51%. They only had 4 turnovers. So again, Duke only forcing 4 turnovers. Got to have more defensive intensity than that. I'm happy that Duke got the win. They've won 7 games in a row. They put themselves back in position to win the ACC. But that being said, if Duke wants to make a run in the Final Four, the defensive intensity has to be consistent. You cannot have a night off in the NCAA tournament if you want to win it. You cannot have a night off defensively. You have to bring that defensive intensity for 6 straight games. It's tough. It's not easy. But you're going to have to bring that defensive intensity. Offensively, you know Duke's going to score. They're going to get baskets. They're going to get buckets. But are they going to get stops? That's a big key for my favorite college basketball team, the Duke Blue Devils. They're back in the top 10. That's good. Like I said, they put themselves in really good position to win the ACC after they play some really good basketball down the stretch. Right now, North Carolina is leading the ACC, but Duke's right behind them. But if they're going to win the ACC, if they're going to make a big run in March, if they're going to win this whole thing, they have to be better defensively. They have to be more consistent. They've been better as of late, but they definitely struggled on Saturday. Also on Saturday, West Virginia, they did beat Texas Tech in double overtime, 83-74. Javon Carter had 24 points and 7 rebounds. Elijah Macon had 19. They were 24-31 from the free throw line. Texas Tech was only 13-19, so West Virginia did a great job of attacking the basket. Keenan Evans had 28 points for Texas Tech, who's playing some good basketball. I think they're an NCAA tournament team, but they also had 20 turnovers as well. So against Press Virginia, you know they live off those turnovers. You turn the ball over, they turn them into baskets. So a big win there for West Virginia, keeping their hopes, slim hopes alive of winning the Big 12. I think that's just about out the door, though. In all honesty, Kansas, they're going to win the Big 12 again. But anyway, we talked about that earlier, so they'll get the job done again. Don't forget, it's not too late. We still have about 6 minutes left in the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Also, Pittsburgh, they stunned Florida State, beating them 80-66. Sheldon Jeter had 29 points and 8 rebounds for Pittsburgh. They shot 51% from the field. They hit 10 threes. Xavier Rathamays had 12 points, but they were only 5-18 from threes. And Florida State's been struggling as of late in the ACC. I still think they're a dangerous team with all their length, their athleticism. I really think they're dangerous, but they need to pick it up a little bit, especially offensively. They've been struggling to score the basketball. They need to pick it up. If they can do that, they have a chance to make a big run in March. But if not, It could be an issue for Florida State down the stretch. We'll see how they finish off the regular season. You know, the ACC, again, in my opinion, the ACC is definitely the best conference in college basketball. Some people argue the Big 12. Some people might even say the Pac-12, especially at the top of the Pac-12 is really good. But that being said, I'll take the ACC top to bottom. The ACC is just way too deep. You know, there was a chant that we used to say at a UCO, we're too deep, at my alma mater, the University of Central Oklahoma. The ACC can say that chant, we're too deep. Come on, we're too deep. So anyway, but a nice win there for Pittsburgh. The ACC tournament is going to be really good, like it is all every year. But sticking with our ACC talk, the North Carolina Tar Heels, they destroyed Virginia, beating them 65-41. Justin Jackson had 20 points to 6 assists. Kenny Meeks had a 13 points and 7 rebounds. They were plus 18 on the glass. They do what they do on the glass. They dominate on the glass. Mario Schrock had 13 points for Virginia, but Virginia's offensive woes continue. They shot just 28% from the field. They were 2 of 20 from threes. So, Virginia, you know they're going to lock you down defensively. That pack line defense is really, really good. They do a great job of keeping you out of the lane and forcing you to make jumpers. Now, North Carolina, they're hard to stop because they'll get offensive rebounds. They'll do work on the glass, and they pounded Virginia on the glass. So that's a bad matchup for Virginia. But Virginia, you know they're going to bring the defense. You know, every game they're going to bring their defense. You can count on that. That's consistent. But their offense is just, at times they just have, it's a struggle to score. It's horrible just watching them try to score the basketball. It's like, oh, man, it's just bad, bad. And they have some good players. They have some players that can score the basketball. London Parentes, he's a really good point guard. He can score. Cal Guy, he can score. That Ty Jerome, he's a guy you cannot help off of. So they need to find their offense. If you're a Virginia fan, you have to be concerned because they're struggling offensively. The defense is going to be there. That's going to be consistent, but the offense has to improve. They're going to make any kind of noise in the ACC or in the big dance, which can you believe we're only 2 weeks away from the conference tournament time? Wow, time goes really fast when you're having fun watching college basketball. Also, on Saturday, I told you Oklahoma State would win Bedlam. They did, but barely. They barely got past OU, beat them 96-92. Juwan Evans, he scored 27 points and had 9 assists. He was dynamic down the stretch, making all the big plays for Oklahoma State. Jeffrey Carroll added 23. Phil Forte had 22 points. They shot 50% from the field, and they hit 12 threes. So offensively, Oklahoma State was really good, especially late in that game. It was a great comeback. They were down by as many as 10 points in the second half. Now, if you look at the OU perspective, if you're an OU fan, you have to be excited about the fight that they showed and also about the future. Rashard Odoms, he had a double-double, 29 points and 10 rebounds. Dante Buford had 13 points. Christian James added 13 points. Those are two guys in the future that you're going to need to step up if OU's going to make a run in the Big 12 next year. Dante Buford and Christian James have to be difference makers. OU shot 55% from the field, but they turned the ball over 17 times. But again, you have to love the fight that OU showed. And looking down the road, adding Trey Young, and we talked about this on my last show on Friday. Trey Young decides to go to OU. He's going to be a big difference maker for OU. He's definitely going to change the culture of the program from this year. And it definitely should put OU back in the NCAA tournament. Now, for this year, Oklahoma State, you have to get it at Oklahoma State. They struggled in Big 12. A lot of people said they were done. They were dead. There were no chance they were going to make the NCAA tournament. Look at them now. They are 7-7 right now in the Big 12. Again, I think they're going to need one more win to ensure themselves of a NCAA tournament berth so they can get that at home over Texas Tech or maybe even on the road on Wednesday against Kansas State. But I think an 8-10 record in the Big 12, I think that will get them in. I think that will ensure Oklahoma State of an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. And Oklahoma State's a dangerous team. That's a team that can make a little noise. They can win a game in the NCAA tournament if they have the right matchup. We shall wait and see. Their defense has been better. It wasn't great on Saturday, but it was good enough for them to get the victory. So looking at the Big 12, it'll be interesting to see who gets in the NCAA tournament, TCU, Kansas State. Again, I think if those teams can win 8 games, if they can finish 8-10 in the Big 12, and maybe for Kansas State or TCU win a game in the Big 12 tournament, I think they'll ensure themselves of a berth in the NCAA tournament. But we shall wait and see. It'll be interesting. Kansas State definitely needs to pick it up. They've been struggling as of late. I know they beat Texas on Saturday, but if they want to make it to the NCAA tournament, they need some more wins on their resume. So we'll see if they can get some more wins on that resume. Thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time, guys. We'll be talking. We'll talk about the start of the second half of the NBA season. We'll look at the games that took place on Thursday. Also, we'll talk about any trades that took place before the trade deadline. Don't forget, the trade deadline is Thursday. So, will Paul George be moved? Will Carmelo Anthony be moved? We'll talk about any moves of significance that take place before. Talking about that. Also, we'll talk college basketball as well. We'll talk college basketball. We'll talk NBA. We have a big game in the Pac-12 on that between UCLA and Arizona. So, anyway, have a blessed rest of your week. God is good. Trust in Him, and we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.